What's up, Wake? How we doing? I don't know about you guys, but that video like really wants me to just like run through a brick wall. It's so exciting. It's hype. But guys, welcome. Hey, if it's your first time here, hey, my name's Parker. I get to hang out with you guys here at Wake and then come and visit the small groups on Wednesday nights. If this is your first time here to Wake, I just want you to hear me say welcome. Wake exists because we believe that there is a God who created the universe and created you and me to be in relationship with him. And that's why we come. We have a lot of fun here at Wake, but the main purpose is that we want you to know that God wants a relationship with you and that he loves you. But before I jump into my message, I want to show you guys a quick video. And so everybody look to the screen and watch this video. Yeah, that's right. Just keep watching it. It's going away. He missed a spot. Uh-oh, let's see. Okay, I think, so Luke edited this video, and I think I left off like 2 seconds. He got the spot, so don't worry. But guys, the reason why I show you that is because that's a really satisfying video, right? You see the mess and he cleans it off. And there are tons of other satisfying videos like that that I have spent hours just sitting on my phone on the couch watching because it's satisfying. Now I'm going to show you a picture on the next slide. This mustard on a hamburger is not satisfying. If you, hey, raise your hand if you don't like mustard on hamburgers. Wow. That's what I'm talking about. That is not satisfying. Mustard is disgusting and shouldn't be on hamburgers. Okay. Hey, bring it back in. Bring it back in. I just riled you guys up. I'm sorry. So, Hey, I think there's a disparity there. We see something that's satisfying. And then for a lot of us, we see something that's unsatisfying. And there's a difference there. And I think that's true of our lives. Like, I think there are a lot of things that we look at and we're like, man, I'm just, like, I don't like that. I'm dissatisfied with that. That's satisfying, but that isn't. And so the question leaves, hey, why do we feel unsatisfied in our lives? And today, that's what I want to talk to you guys about. I want to show you in God's word how our satisfaction in life is determined on our satisfaction in Christ. Our satisfaction in life is determined by our satisfaction in Christ. Okay? And we're continuing in our series, Better Than. And so if you have a journal, grab your journal. And what the title of this message is going to be is Satisfaction is Better Than Striving. Satisfaction is better than striving. And before we jump into the scripture that we're going to be in today, I want to define those two terms, satisfaction and striving. Satisfaction means that we're not wanting something else. Simple as that. We're not wanting something else. We're content, we're satisfied with where we are. We're not looking to anything else, and we're not wanting anything else. Striving means to long for something, okay? So satisfaction is not wanting something else, and striving means to long for something. And so the passage that we're going to look at today, if you have your Bibles, you can grab those out. You're going to open to Exodus 16. We're also going to have it on the screen. And so Exodus, if you don't know about the book of Exodus, it's our second book in the Bible behind Genesis in the Old Testament. Okay, and we're going to set up a little bit of the context of the book of Exodus leading up to Exodus 16. And so God, back in Genesis, promised the nation of Israel, he went to Abraham and said, hey, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you tons of children, and your nation's going to grow, and it's going to be the nation of Israel, and I'm going to give you a land for your people to dwell in. And then we get towards the end of Genesis as the family line continues, and then all of a sudden, the Israelites go into Egypt, and they're enslaved. And they're like, man, what the heck happened? God, you promised that we were going to be a great nation. You promised we were going to have land, and we're in a different land, and we're slaves. And so God has a plan. He goes to a guy named Moses, and he tells Moses, and you probably heard this phrase before, go to Pharaoh, who's the king of Egypt, and say, let my people go. And so Moses goes, he does that. Pharaoh says, hey, I'm not interested. They're helpful to us. I'm not going to do it. And so God sends 10 plagues, which basically is just judgment on the nation of Egypt and on Pharaoh because Pharaoh denied God. And Pharaoh, after 10 of those plagues, he goes, you know what? Fine. Y'all can go. And so the nation of Israel leaves Egypt and they start heading to that land that God had promised them. And then all of a sudden, Pharaoh changes his mind. He's like, you know what? I made a huge mistake. These people used to be our workforce. They used to work for us. We were over them and making money for us. And so I'm going to go and get them back. And so he chases down the nation of Israel. And we get to one of the most famous stories in the Bible, where Moses stands in front of the Red Sea, and God, through Moses, he hits his staff and he parts the Red Sea. The nation of Israel goes through the Red Sea, the Egyptians run after him, and then God closes the sea on top of the Egyptians, saving the nation of Israel. And so that's where we've come to, is we're just coming out of them crossing the Red Sea, and they're entering into Exodus 15, and Moses and the nation of Israel, it's called Moses' song. It's just a praise to God for what God has done, remembering his promises and the fact that he delivered them. And he says in Exodus 15:11, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? So the people start their journey. After being enslaved for a very long time, they start their journey toward the promised land and reminding themselves of what God has done, that God rescued them from slavery and into freedom. And right as they're leaving the Red Sea, they go into the wilderness. And this is what's important about the wilderness. The wilderness isn't just like a set of trees, a bunch of bushes, like not as many people out there, like it was a sign of testing their faith, that they were going to go through the wilderness and God was going to use that to test their faith and their trust and dependence upon God. And so God uses it to draw people towards him. And when I think about the wilderness, I think the adult leaders in the room will recognize this. If a lot of you guys do, that'd be awesome. There is one guy that comes to my mind when it comes to the wilderness, and that is Bear Grylls. Do you guys know who Bear Grylls is? If you don't know who Bear Grylls is, Bear Grylls, he used to do this show called Man vs. Wild, where he'd go out in the wilderness with no supplies, and then he'd try to survive. And here's the controversy. There's rumors that maybe he got a little bit of help, but this guy survived. He would, you know, build his own shelter. He would, like, eat worms. Like, I watched all of Man vs. Wild because I thought it was so fascinating that somebody go out in the wilderness and just survive on their own. And so, guys, here's the deal. Bear Grylls, it was not like the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel had never been in the wilderness. They had no idea what to do. And so they were going into the wilderness not knowing what to do and really not prepared. And so that's where we pick up in Exodus 16. And my first point is that God, and based off of this scripture, that God provides in dissatisfaction. Okay, so verses 2 through 5 is God provides in dissatisfaction. So they're journeying through the wilderness, and then they're in the wilderness a little bit, and then the people of Israel start complaining. They start grumbling at Moses and Aaron, who are the leaders of the nation of Israel, and they start saying that they're hungry. And so look what it says in Exodus 16. It says, and the people of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Which basically just means the nation of Israel, not far into the wilderness, looked at their two leaders and said, hey, we would rather be enslaved and full, like our stomachs full, than to be free and hungry. Like they would rather go back into slavery instead of being in the wilderness. And we're probably sitting here in our like 2023 minds being like, that's crazy. Like, why would they ever want to go back to being slaves? And I think we have to look at ourselves and be like, hey, how often do we complain? How often are we dissatisfied with the things in our life? And I know, guys, if I'm being honest, I know I struggle with this often. I struggle with this my whole life. Like there are moments where I have been dissatisfied. And to give you one small example, when I was 8 years old, on my birthday, it was an amazing birthday. And we got to opening presents, and my aunt gave me a present. I opened it up, and it was a Transformer, which historically, everyone's like, that is epic. You got a Transformer. I don't know what was inside of me, but I threw the Transformer down, and I was like, no! And I ran upstairs crying, and I hid myself in my room because that's not what I wanted for my birthday. I didn't have that on my list. I didn't ever say I wanted a Transformer. I didn't want it. And my parents came up and had a very honest conversation with me where they're like, Parker, you need to be grateful because your aunt bought you something that she thought you would like, and you need to be grateful and not complain. So I had to go and apologize to my aunt, which was embarrassing. But I think we all have, you know, that's kind of a dramatic story, but I think we all have stories of times that we've been dissatisfied with our lives, either situations and circumstances or things that have been done to us or we have seen. And so what is it for you? What are you unsatisfied in? Hey, maybe it's if I just had my parents' approval. If I was just noticed by other people in my school. Man, sometimes I feel like I just walk around the hall and no one sees me. Nobody notices me. Maybe it's like, hey, I just wish people knew I was the funny guy. You just want laughs from people. Man, I've been there. Maybe it's life seems hard right now following God. And you wish that you could just go back. Like, go be with a popular crowd. Even though you know, like, those people aren't the greatest influences in your life. At least I'll be popular. At least I'll be inside with all the cool people. And guys, I think when our lives get hard, we wish we could go back to something. We wish we could go back to a great experience or something we've done in the past. Or it's we wish we were somewhere else. Or we wish we had something different than what God has given us right now or our circumstances. I think for a lot of us, and myself included, man, we have a sense that something's missing. Man, that phrase that I think we should ask ourselves often and just, man, be aware of when we tell ourselves, hey, if I just had this, and maybe you don't know what that is, and maybe you need to take some time to just reflect, and hey, if I had this, man, life would be better. And a question is, what is one thing that if you had it, then everything would be perfect? What is one thing that if you had it, then everything would be perfect? And I think when we look into culture and our world, I think two things that come to mind. I think of money and success. As we're like, hey, if we just had those two things, everything would be perfect. And I was reading an article this week about Steve Jobs, who's the creator of Apple. And he got to the end of his life and he was just like, man, I made a ton of money, but it just didn't satisfy. It wasn't enough. Or Tom Brady in an interview after winning a couple Super Bowls, literally right in an interview with another guy, he said, there has to be more to life than this. You can go look it up on YouTube. He says that. There has to be more to life than this. So back to our story. God provides in our dissatisfaction. The people complain about their hunger. And let's see what happens. It says, then in verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And so God, they're dissatisfied, they're grumbling, they're complaining. And so they're like, man, we want food. And God says, okay, I'm going to give you food. I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you. And this reminds me of a movie. If you guys have seen Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. And there's a specific scene of Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs that I want you guys to watch on the screen, because this is what reminds me of what we're about to talk through.
The machine works.
Okay, I know that's silly. Those were literal burgers falling from the sky. But this is what happened in the story. It was bread from heaven that when they woke up, there was bread on the ground. Not joking. Actually happened. And what the bread was, is it was kind of like a wafer that tasted like honey, which I'll be honest, that sounds pretty good. And God instructs them that it's going to be a day's portion. Okay, so it was going to be just enough every single day, that bread was going to come every single day and provide for the nation of Israel, that God was going to answer their grumbling and complaining. And God doesn't just leave them there. He gives them instruction. And so that's my next point. God instructs his people. So we've got God provides in his dissatisfaction, and God instructs his people. And so he instructs his people to follow his commands. And God does this not to put rules in front of the nation of Israel, but to actually have them trust that God was going to provide for every one of their needs. And so in verse 25, it says, Moses said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it. But on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none. And so God provides this manna from heaven. Okay, it rains down. It's food for the day. He's going to provide it 6 days a week. Every single day, it's going to come back. It's going to provide. They're going to be full. They're going to be satisfied. But on the seventh day, on the sixth day, they're going to take two portions of the food. Because on the seventh day, there's not going to be any. And you're probably thinking, what's up with that? Why isn't God providing on the last day of the week? That seems important. It's because God wanted to honor a thing called the Sabbath, which means to rest. We see this all throughout Scripture. When God created the heavens and the earth, he did it in 6 days. And on the seventh day, he rested. And he taught the nation of Israel to do that. And that's not just like, hey, just kick your feet back and relax. No, resting was to rest in the fact that God was going to provide, that we wouldn't have to strive like we've talked about, but to trust that God's going to supply every need. But let's see what the people do. And this leads to the last point. His people disobey. Verses 27 through 29. So the people, back to the story. So the people grumbled and complained. God sent bread from heaven and told them it's going to be 6 days. And on the seventh day, they're going to have two portions. So just enough that they're not going to go out and try to find more. But on the seventh day, they trust him. It says in verse 27, on the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? And God here, he genuinely just asked them to trust him, that his provision was enough, and that the seventh day was to sit in the rest of who God is and to be satisfied that God was providing the needs. But instead, they strove for more than to trust God. And guys, how often do we do this in our lives? How often do we catch ourselves looking at the next thing? And that's what I mean by striving. We're striving towards the next thing and not sitting in the satisfaction and contentment of what God has already given us, that he's provided everything that we need. But we often look to the next thing. Or do you daydream about, hey, if I got this, then my life would be better. If I just had it, my life would be better. Or this one hits home. Hey, if I would not struggle with that same sin, or if I continue to struggle with my weaknesses, my life would be better. They're like, hey, if I could just try hard enough that God will love me, or if I just try hard enough, my life will be better. And guys, we all do it. We really all do it, myself included. As I was writing this message, I was like, man, I think in a season for me of transitioning a lot of things, I'm like, man, like, it's easy for me to want the next thing. It's easy for me to get caught up in, hey, God doesn't have enough for me today. I need to figure out where I'm going to be in 5 years or 10 years or whatever. And we're looking for rest. And that's the striving thing, man. We're looking for rest in the next thing and not in the rest that God has already provided us. And to further my point on this, in looking to the next best thing or the thing to come, hey, raise your hand in this room if you have an iPhone. Raise your hand. Lots of people with iPhones. Okay, put your hands down. Shh. Okay, I'm gonna take like two or three people who want to guess how many versions of the iPhone there've been. Okay, we got one right there. How many? 20? Right over there. 53.
I would say about 16.
20, 53, and 16. All right, put your hands down. Shh. All right. Here's the deal. Okay, little history of the iPhone. iPhone started in 2007. That was the first one. Since then, there have been 38 versions of the iPhone. Yeah. Okay. Stay with me. I know. And guys, I think that's something to just prove that point, that we're looking to the next best thing, that there are 38 versions. And trust me, there have been a lot of like advancements in technology with the iPhone. I get that. But if you look at each version, there's not that much that upgrades. And we, in all of us, there is a desire. There is a desire that we want the newest thing. Man, if we just had the newest item, the newest piece of clothing, man, that we would be satisfied. And I think we can be so short-sighted to look at the things that seem wrong in our life and how God is working in the midst of our circumstances and want what's next. And guys, that can cause us to be not grateful or selfish. And honestly, also causes us to compare ourselves to other people. I've done that. I've done all those things. And something that's stuck with me when I think about this is something my dad taught me a long, long time ago. My dad said, hey, there's always going to be someone who has more than you and less than you. And so be grateful for what God gives you. That God gives you exactly what you need. He knows you. He loves you. He wants what's best for you. He gives you exactly what you need. So trust him. But how do we find satisfaction? We find satisfaction in a verse that reminds me of this is Psalm 16, 5 through 6. The Lord is my chosen portion in my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. So how do we find this satisfaction? Guys, we find this satisfaction in Christ. Our total satisfaction is in him. Guys, the bread from heaven that we talked about, if you look in the book of John, Jesus describes himself as the bread of life, that he came down for us to sustain us, that our energy and our strength and our hope is found in him, not in the things of this world, but in him alone. But practically, how do we find satisfaction even more in Christ? And two things, gratefulness and trust. Gratefulness that God has been at work in my life and that he has provided. And reminding ourselves of that. Writing just one thing. If you can get three or four, that's great. But if you can just write one thing you're grateful for every day, man, I'm convicted by that. I think our moods begin to change because we start to look for things to be grateful for and to praise God for. And then trust that despite my circumstances, I can trust that God's at work. That he really has my best interest in mind. In that verse 6, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Guys, everybody look at me. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. God is writing your story. I know there's been a lot of hard things in y'all's lives, things that middle schoolers shouldn't have to walk through. But God's at work. He's in the midst of your circumstances because he loves you and he wants relationship with you and for you to love him and follow him. And I know, like, conceptually, you can probably hear that on a Sunday and be like, dude, you're just saying something, but, like, I don't believe you. And I think what's helpful is looking at who wrote this psalm. King David wrote this psalm. And King David had a lot of really great things happening in his life, but he also had a lot of really bad things. He got chased down by Saul, who tried to kill him. His own son, later in his life, tried to kill him. And yet, in the midst of all that, he says, I have a beautiful inheritance. That I can trust God in my circumstances because he loves me. And he wants what's best for me. And guys, that's my prayer for you. God's not trying to cheat you out. God wants what's best for you. And so he sees you, he loves you, and he wants you to just follow him and trust that he is where true satisfaction is found. So let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this day. Lord, I just thank you for the reminder that satisfaction is found in you, the story of the manna from heaven, providing for the nation of Israel. God, Christ has satisfied us, provided for us. I pray in all of our circumstances, would you remind us to be content and satisfied in you alone and not looking to strive towards the next thing. Lord, I pray for these students as they go out this week. Would they love you more and be your people? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.